Whether you're looking for answers to specific life questions or seeking to become the best version of you possible, welcome to the Mental Breakdown and Psych Reg podcast, where we offer insight, information, and strategies based upon research and years of practice as clinical psychologists. So sit back, have a listen, and get connected with our hosts, Dr. Bernie Wilkinson and Dr. Richard Marshall. Welcome back. We're going to continue our conversation today on emotions. Are you smiling with your eyes, Richard?
I'm smiling with my... I think yesterday was so easy that we should do it again.
Yes.
Actually, we're giving ourselves a second chance to clarify this today.
Well, we're going to talk today about as we said in the last podcast, we're going to talk in a little bit more detail about the James Lange theory and the Kenan Bard theory of emotion. Mm-hmm. And this comes from an article from NPR.
From NPR,
called, right, The Making of Emotions from Pleasurable Fear to Bittersweet Relief.
Right.
And these are actually excerpts from a podcast through Invisibilia, mm-hmm, and it's a podcast that NPR does. It's really done well. I've listened to, they do it in seasons, and I think that they're into their third season, mm-hmm, now. And they do a really nice job of finding these stories from all over the country, all over the world, really, and pulling them together and talking about, Invisibilia is all about the invisible forces that influence our lives, mm-hmm, and things like that. And so,
right,
they did one recently, very recently, on emotions.
Right.
And In that episode, they talked to a researcher named Lisa Barnett.
Right. I'm really impressed with what she has developed here.
This is a
really impressive contribution to the whole discussion of emotion.
Right. Mm-hmm. And she is a researcher, mm-hmm, at Northeastern University and at Harvard Medical,
right,
School. So, mm-hmm, she has some credentials.
Pretty good pedigree.
Yeah, mm-hmm, yeah. And so she talks about, and she seems to suggest that her research is supporting the Kenan Bard theory of emotions. And that is that, as you might remember from the last podcast, the Kenan Bard theory basically says that something happens and we assign an emotion to what has happened, and that triggers our physiological responses and how we understand what's going on in our world.
So there's an environmental event.
Right.
It produces a physiologic response.
We assign an emotion to it, which triggers a physiological response.
Okay, so we have an event.
Right.
And we say, I'm afraid.
That's scary, right.
Right. And
that triggers,
me telling myself I'm afraid triggers the fear circuit.
Right.
Right.
Right. So, and her research has supported that theory.
Mm-hmm.
And she mentioned some pretty interesting things.
Right.
And I think things that we all experience.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, one of the things that she talks about, for example, is the varied ways in which we respond to the same emotion.
That's right.
You know,
because the classical theory is that we have these circuits in our brain, hardwired,
mm-hmm,
circuits for fear, for sadness, for everything.
Mm-hmm.
And she said it may not, her beginning premise is, it may not be as hardwired as we think.
Right.
It may be more dynamic, organic,
mm-hmm,
and plastic,
right,
to use a current term, than the classical theory would say. Because,
right,
the classical theory says we're hardwired for this. And,
right,
she's saying, may not be as hardwired as we once thought.
Right. Yeah. And some of the argument for that is that sometimes people will smile when they're angry. Sometimes they cry when they're happy.
Right.
You know, we have these, what we typically refer to as emotional events,
right,
that are inconsistent with the actual emotion that we're
feeling.
That's
right, because if we go back to the grandfather, to Darwin,
mm-hmm,
who said all cultures,
right,
in every culture, people smile when they're happy. So,
mm-hmm,
it looked like it was hardwired.
Right.
That's what she's taking issue with, is,
mm-hmm,
she's saying that may not be the case.
Right. And if we think about how different we are, each of us,
mm-hmm,
are,
mm-hmm,
we can start to see some of that, some support for what her argument,
right,
is. You know, for example, there are those who love, they get thrilled, they find enjoyment out of horror movies.
One of my dearest friends, a lovely woman, shocked me one day. She said, I love horror movies. And the gorier they are, the more I love it. And I said, you don't get afraid or anything? She's like, I guess I do, but I love it.
Yeah.
And I still don't understand that.
Right. Mm-hmm. So some people have had experience that allows them to, or has influenced them, I guess, to associate a positive emotion to scary,
frightening events.
Yeah.
How does that work?
Right.
But she's right.
Right. Mm-hmm. And I think, not that this is going to be a podcast about different paraphilias and sort of intimate types of peculiarities, but did you like that word?
I like where this is going. Remember that you said the other day, I wasn't sure where you were going with
right,
that.
Right.
I'm not sure where you're going with this.
Well, but when we have experiences, and this is part of her argument, when we have experiences that associate a positive emotion, where we assign a positive emotion, even if it's with a negative event, we're going to continue to assign a positive emotion to those events that may be viewed as somewhat negative or frightening or harmful or whatever.
Roller coasters.
Right, yeah.
We live in the land of roller coasters.
Right.
They keep producing scary and scary. And people love to be scared.
Right. Well,
which is counterintuitive.
Right. We live in Central Florida. We are halfway between Orlando and Tampa. Mm-hmm. Around September of every year, we have this influx between Universal Studios Orlando and Busch Gardens. Mm-hmm. We have two massive Halloween events that happen where they will have these two theme parks will have dozens of differently themed haunted houses, and people flock to these to be chased by zombies, to be scared by people, you know, characters with chainsaws and things like that. And they love that stuff.
And they have to issue warnings.
Right.
Be careful, because it really is scary. I mean, my children have gone to those and said it is truly scary.
Yeah.
You don't know what's going to happen next.
Right. Mm-hmm. But it is a huge event every year. And they start earlier and earlier, it seems. I think even last year they started near the end of August.
Right.
And they just, every night, they have these huge haunted houses and everything. So, again, for whatever reason, we learn to experience and assign positive emotions or pleasurable emotions to even negative events, things that may be distressing or harmful to other people.
Right. These life-threatening events, which we should avoid.
Right.
Instead, we seek.
Right. Mm-hmm. And in listening to her interview, in the podcast especially, she talks about it. She associates it with vision.
Right.
Which was fascinating, because she talks about, you know, if you've never seen before, if you've never had sight before. If you've had sight, but then you lose sight, but then they fix it so that you have sight again.
Right.
What happens is, if that happens during a particular developmental phase, when they reconnect everything, they put all those wires back together, and you can actually, you know, the light from the outside actually gets in, all your brain sees, all your brain interprets, sees, is light and dark, bright and dark. Right. That's all they see. And your brain has to assign meaning to that light and dark contrast. Mm-hmm. She says emotions are the same way. When you're just starting to see, everything is just a blob until you assign a meaning to it, assign a color, assign a definition. That is a door. That shape, that light structure is a door.
Right.
And so, when we have emotions, it's the same way. She says we experience things, and that thing that we're experiencing out there is just a blob of event. It's a blob of stimulus.
That's right.
And it's not until we assign an emotion to it that gives it a definition.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we think that it exists independently,
right?
But it doesn't. Our brain creates meaning.
Mm-hmm. And that's why we see people. I saw this on YouTube today, Facebook. There was a guy swimming with, I think it was about a 10-foot alligator. And he's in the water. Of course, this is here in Florida because, well, we talked about Darwin. There's a survival, natural selection. But this guy is, there's a perfectly good boat right there. And he's in the water swimming with this alligator. And he's like floating on his back. And the gator comes up to him. And he like kisses the gator. And I'm like.
That gator just ate.
And I'm like.
He's had a full stomach.
I'm nervous watching this because I'm thinking, this isn't going to end well. But that guy, for whatever reason, because of his life experiences, that is not a fearful event for him. And he's probably, obviously, he's done it dozens of times before. And so there's no fear associated with it. There's no hesitation, no anxiety. It's pleasurable. He enjoys it. And yeah, see?
No.
You can feel your heart rate pick up a little bit.
I feel an increase in my heart rate right there. Palms are getting sweaty.
so that's, but that's how some of this works. And that's why we see people like, you know, the one of the examples I always think about is, remember Steve Irwin, mm-hmm. the crocodile hunter.
Right.
That dude, you know, he would just like.
He had a healthy respect, but he didn't have fear.
Right. He would jump out of a moving Jeep.
Right.
To go, if he thought he saw a spider or something. Right. It's like, he just wanted to get there. But, right. but as you said, there's just no fear there. He respected it, he understood it, but he wasn't afraid of it.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And that's very different. You know, that association through experience. And she talks a lot about that.
Well, I think about fighter pilots.
Right.
There was a Top Gun years mm-hmm. ago. Mm-hmm. When you were but a boy, mm-hmm. Top Gun came out, and they had this character Iceman,
right?
Ice in his veins, because they either overcome fear or they don't have fear in what should be a terribly
right.
frightening situation
right.
where you would just freeze,
mm-hmm.
and they are flying around shooting at each other and right. being shot at.
Right?
How do you? Yes.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
getting it's their thrill.
Right. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So the idea here again is that we assign an emotion to this blob of a right. stimulus that mm-hmm. we are encountering,
mm-hmm.
and we then assign the emotion to that blob.
Right.
And
so what she's saying is we have a variety of responses for each emotion.
Right.
Okay, so we can't just go by our response, whether it's right. facial expression or body, you know, whether we run away or...
Mm-hmm,
okay.
mm-hmm.
So she's saying we have, because we... assign meaning.
Right.
Okay. Then she said, when we look at a person's face and we're trying to assess what emotion they're feeling,
mm-hmm.
That's a guess.
Right.
I mean, we're just...
Right.
And what is that guess based on? It's based on our prior experiences. Okay.
Right. Well, Freud and other psychoanalysts would say it's a projection.
Or it's a projection. It's,
right.
It's what I think.
What I think that
right.
means.
And so when we're judging emotions, it's either our own or others, it's always happening at a subconscious level.
Right.
I mean, we're always doing this mental gymnastics. And it's not that emotion, she's saying that it's not that emotions happen to us.
Mm-hmm.
It's that we make them as we go along.
Right.
Okay. We're always doing this subconscious right. process of we make emotions as we go along. And she refers to that some term like anticipatory guessing or something
right, right.
that as we go through the world,
mm-hmm.
that our subconscious is constantly predicting what's going to happen next.
Right.
Okay. And so we're creating. That's what she means by we're creating emotions as we go along.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because our brain is. It's like when we read. When we read, we're always anticipating what the next words are
right.
going to be. And she says the same thing about emotions. As we go along, we're constantly
right.
guessing what the next thing, event, mm-hmm. emotion is mm-hmm. going to be.
Right.
It's a fascinating way of thinking about
yeah.
it. You know?
Now she admits that this does throw a wrench, at least, in some of the things that we think about when it comes to treatment. Because, you know, what she's saying is that you don't experience an emotion until you assign an emotion to it. You know, any emotion that you experience is because you've assigned that emotion.
Right.
And so what she's saying is that, you know, then all you have to do, you know, all as though it's easy. All you have to do is assign a different emotion to it.
Right.
And she, in the interview, it was kind of funny because one of the things she said was, you know, that's beyond my research.
Right.
She goes,
right.
That's, clinicians are going to have to research that part mm-hmm. because I'm just looking at this piece of it, but we need further research to look at what implications right. this has for treatment and right. for that, those kinds of things.
Yeah. And what I like about her theory, well, many things I like about it, but you can see that it reflects our advanced thinking about how computers work. Mm-hmm. There was a time, you know, 20 or 30 years ago when the first generation of computers came out, they were kind of hardwired.
Right.
And now we have simultaneous processing.
Right.
And so that's sort of what she's talking about mm-hmm. here, is that this is happening in real time.
Right.
And it's happening very rapidly. Mm-hmm. And it's something that our brains are constantly creating. Whether right. we know it or not, we're constantly creating right. it. And it's all happening simultaneously. So she a little bit moves away from that idea that first you have this and then you have this.
Right.
She's saying it's all happening at the same time.
Right.
Which is harder to conceptualize right. because we tend to think in terms of organized systems.
Yeah. And it's,
but I love the work that she's doing.
Yeah, yeah. It's really good
and
stuff.
And she wrote a book. I'd like to read. I'd like to read her book.
Yeah.
It's a I don't know. Have you seen it?
Mm-hmm.
Have you seen it?
I haven't bought her book, no.
What's the title of it?
Where is it?
It's at the top of the article. Or the about the second or third paragraph.
I don't know. The Secret Life of the Brain.
The Secret Life of the Brain.
How emotions are made.
Right. And I'd like to really, because I need to incorporate this into my teaching.
Yeah.
You know, and so I'd like to see what, because I think she's right at, she's at the tip of the spear.
Right.
The cutting edge stuff that she's working on.
Yeah. It's good stuff. So, all right. So check out that article. We have the link in the show notes, of course.
Right.
So check that out and see what you think.
Yeah.
So, all right. Well, that is it for today. We'll be back for the next podcast to talk about more emotional things. All right, so until then, stay happy, stay healthy, and forget to be afraid.